flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What's the last thing you cheated at, Joe?
Oh, gosh.
Taxes.
Don't do that to him. We have some IRS people listening to the show.
No comment on that one. I don't know. I would have to think about it.
Sometimes I'll reverse cheat.
It's more like, you know, it's just happening so constantly that it's hard for me to really pinpoint when it would have been.
It was probably yesterday. You just can't remember.
I'm going to have to bring the cheating back pretty soon because I cheat, like, for my kids so we can end these games faster.
That's exactly I was about to do. That's what I'm reverse cheating.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I'll reverse cheat at Snakes, Chutes and Ladders or Candyland so the game can end.
Yes.
And I'll cheat so she'll win, like stack the deck, whatever, but it's like, this game's gone on long enough.
Yes.
Who's really winning? Who's really winning if the game ends? I think it's you, Andy.
Both of us are winning. She thinks she won the game,
and
the game ended.
And I can stop playing.
Yeah, boy, man, those games. I didn't realize how little strategy, if none, actually, involved in any of those games. Like, what a waste of time. The other thing, they've really downgraded the quality of board game materials. Like, board games used to have pretty nice stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Like, Monopoly would have nice metal pieces and thick cardboard.
They don't have those
anymore? Everything's crap now. Wow. Everything's crap. The board's like a thin little paper, and you got the cards come in a big sheet, and you have to take them out yourself.
That's lazy on
that. It basically is like, what's the crappiest thing you're willing to pay for? And that's what it is.
Right.
That's basically what it is. All right, Joe, let's talk about the news of the day. We'll get to the Falcons in just a little bit, but obviously Miguel Almirón is coming back. Kind of knew it was going to happen, but it has officially happened now. We talked to Chris Henderson earlier in the show, and he said, yes, it's great to bring back a club legend, but he's also a different player, maybe even a better player than he was when he left because of where he's been the last handful of years. Do you buy that?
Oh, yeah, I totally buy that. And I was listening to the interview. I thought it was really well done, guys. And I thought he had some interesting things to say. But I think that when you go and play in the Premier League, shout out to you guys. When you play in the Premier League, like, you have to be able to deal with certain, you know, circumstances in a much – he referred to it as tidy, and that's how I would talk about it as well. Just, like, you have to do things in fewer touches and make decisions quicker and just have a – therefore, if you want to make quicker decisions, you have to have a better understanding of – you know, the field, the kind of the spatial awareness and all that stuff. And I think that, you know, your brain just kind of speeds up. It's like elevating when you go to a more competitive league. It's like, you know, playing any sport, going from, you know, the college to the pros or the high school to college. Maybe not that drastic, but there is that just that step of you just kind of improve in every area. And the thing that I like that Chris said about Miguel and what he's going to bring to this team is the way that he puts the opposition under pressure. And I think that that's something that every Atlanta United fan can easily identify with, like inherently understanding what it is that Miguel Almirón does that makes it difficult for opponents. He's always going to be looking to push the pace, looking to push the tempo, just looking to put that pressure on the opponent and forcing them to make a mistake. And in MLS, when you do that, the opponent is going to make mistakes. And I think that that's where some coaches get it wrong in this league, which is to think that, well, we just need to be precise in everything that we do and the build-up and all this, and then we will craft our own chances when, you know, sometimes you just need to take more of a hammer to it. And I think that that's kind of what Miguel Almirón does. He plays in a very direct style, and he's going to make, you know, the opposing defenders – make mistakes. And Atlanta United, with the striker I think they're going to be bringing in, are going to be able to capitalize on those mistakes quite a bit.
Hey, this striker that they're talking about, and obviously we saw you talked about it, Joe. Like, I know what the striker does, but how do you see him and Miggy fit together? Because, I mean, him and Joseph, obviously they had a bond that was bigger than soccer and all those different things.
Right.
How fast do you think that chemistry has to go? Because it's been a long time since we've had some of that dynamic type deal to this team.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And I think that that's exactly what Emmanuel Lasse-Lass will bring. I think he brings a Joseph Martinez type of player, a player who's fast and can get in behind defenses, but also kind of creative in the way that he can finish around the box. I don't know if people kind of remember this about Joseph Martinez, but he was incredibly kind of crafty in the way that he was able to score goals with his head despite not being the tallest guy, but just a scrapper inside the box. And that's exactly who Emmanuel Lasse-Lass is. But I would say he's even more technical and clinical in the way that he's able to finish and from certain areas and with both of his feet. He's just a player that's really starting to ascend. He's in his mid-20s. I think he's 26 right now, and he's really just starting to break out. And this is exactly when you want to be adding a striker like this to your team, when they're at this point in their careers. He goes to Middlesbrough. He kind of went on the loan circuit around Europe, played for some big clubs there, found his way into a championship team in Middlesbrough, and has just started scoring tons of goals. And I think that that league, the championship in England, which is the second league below the Premier League, I think it translates really well to MLS because it's a big physical league, and a guy like Emmanuel Lasse-Lass is not going to be intimidated by some of these kind of big brutish center backs that you're going to see in MLS, which is also just a really, really physical league. I think he'll be able to adapt to it really well. He's a player who has just started making international appearances for his nation, which is the Ivory Coast in Africa, which is like a very esteemed national team, and produced a ton of great strikers throughout their history. And so it's a really, really exciting signing. And that's, all that adds up to the most expensive transfer fee that a team in MLS will have paid in the league's entire history, which is really exciting.
That was my thing. I was like, I saw the number, the supposed number of the transfer fee. Like, was this one of the things where they weren't bidding against other MLS clubs for this guy, were they?
No, but they were bidding against other teams, like Premier League teams, other championship teams. I mean, this is a player who is in high demand in Europe right now because of, his ascent that he's on and the age that he is. Again, like I said, like, this is a player in his prime, and I think that the number is probably catching people off guard a little bit, and it probably is.
What's the number? What's the number? Say the number.
Well, so anywhere from like 22 to 27, just depends. We'll see what it is. Usually these things are, it differs based on who you ask. Middlesbrough will say the highest number possible if he hits every single incentive, and Atlanta will probably say the lowest possible number just for their own PR, but and make no mistake about it, Atlanta United probably is paying a little bit more to make sure that they can get this player, but it's worth it for them. And it's not like, this is why you have Arthur Blank as an owner. It's why you've made all this money selling guys like Thiago Amado and stuff. So that's the cost of doing business.
I love it because you don't get to brag about the business side of it being good for all these years and then not back it up. So they're backing it up. I love it. You love to see that. Let me ask you this, just because one of the things that we've heard from the club about how they're kind of pivoting a little bit in team building and how they're going about things is trying to sign these designated players that are, in prime, maybe even like late prime. And I think that's probably true of Alexei Maranchuk, certainly true of Almiron. Is that true of Lasse-Lass? Because, I mean, at his age, and hopefully it's something they have to deal with. If he plays so great, somebody else would want him. But is that a thing that could happen down the road where if he does come here and sort of fulfill the potential that he would want to go back to or to a bigger league?
Yeah, that could absolutely happen. I find it funny that we always end up talking. I'm not saying no criticisms to you.
No, I know.
It is funny. Like, we always, like, that's the natural thing that you think about is like what's going to happen to this player before he's even here.
I know.
But you're right. I think it is something that people should pay attention to because like he is at that stage of his career where he's coming at 26 years old. If he lights up MLS for a couple years, he's 28, still in his prime. There are going to be other teams that will want him. There's also a World Cup coming up in 2026 where if he's featured for the Ivory Coast, they're in that World Cup, which they should be, and he's scoring goals, and teams see him scoring, playing against that highest level of competition, and he's getting it done in MLS. I think that's one of the reasons why he would be willing to make a move like this is because he doesn't see it as like, okay, well, I'm just going to be playing in MLS the rest of my career, which I think is a good kind of position for Atlanta United to be in, to be able to acquire players who are this age and say, hey, we can still move you on. Like, if it gets to that level, you perform well enough, you know, the world is still your oyster, even if you can come here and serve us in the meantime.
Yeah, it's fine. Just so long as the guys come here and do like what Almiron did when he was here the first
time. Exactly.
And not do what like all the other DPs have done since then that they've sold off. Hey, let me ask you one Falcons-related, sort of Falcons-related question, just with the offseason being upon us. The Super Bowl is still going to happen, but for all intents and purposes, the Falcons offseason is. How much are you watching Senior Bowl stuff and keeping an eye on that from a Falcons perspective?
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I keep an eye on it. You know, it's so hard to tell, like, what is going to unfold in the draft and kind of, like, how the boards are going to stack and what the Falcons, interests are going to be in terms of, like, you know, who's available when it gets to them. But I'm definitely looking at some of these guys. And, you know, the one that's really popped off is Mike Green, the defensive end from Marshall. He kind of reminds me of that year where Khalil Mack was coming out. He was from Buffalo, but he was very well known to be a premier edge rusher. And then he elevates himself to be one of the top picks in that draft, and I feel like Mike Green is kind of on that same – this is his time to make his money right here because he did all he could at Marshall. He led the country in sacks, but now he's starting to do it against some of the best tackles that are at the Senior Bowl, some of the best tackles that are going to be in the draft, and that's really, really impressive what he's doing. Unfortunately, he might work himself out of range for the Falcons to potentially get him.
Yeah, no, he's had a really good week. I mean, he had such a good week that he left. He was like, all right.
Oh, did he leave? I didn't even see that. That's funny. That's a Senior Bowl for you.
He came what he did – he did what he came to do and pancaked that, or not pancaked, but bulldozed that tackle from Oregon, and he went back home.
What? Oh, no, they got the video of Miggy, he's talking right now, Joe.
How's he sound?
No English accent.
Oh, yeah, thought maybe he might. English, we thought maybe he might sound British now.
No English accent.
Yeah, right, like Zan.
Like Zan, exactly. All right, Joe, thanks.
All right, thanks, guys.